Welcome to episode 123 of the Talking Talkie Pod. I'm joined by Matty.
Hello, mate.
I'm joined by Chris.
Hello.
And I'm Sam. Right. So we're going to talk about the preseason, how it means nothing unless you have a really good one like we have, and kind of like previewing the season ahead and a trip to Dover. Right, Matty, what are your thoughts of the preseason then, both on like the results and what you've had?
Whatever way you want to spin it, isn't it? I think, like you just said, if you've had a good preseason, it means quite a bit. If not, then it doesn't mean anything. I think when you look at, you can only look at what's put in front of you, can't you, really? And if you're going to compare what we saw this preseason with last preseason, then there is a significant improvement in what we've got now as in, compared to what we had at the start of last season. In terms of quality, looking like a unit, playing with cohesion, fitness as well. We've looked so much fitter this preseason than we did last season.
100%.
And arguably, we're a stronger team than we were this time last year, which is crazy, really, given the fact that we are now a league below. I think that we can be confident, I think, going into next season, and it's a situation where. Usually when you get relegated, it's a bit of a unique situation really, isn't it? Because we've stayed together. We finished the season a different team to what we started last season. We're now starting this season the same team. And usually when you get relegated, you've a few players leave or whatnot and you get broken up and new manager, new coaches, all that sort of stuff that goes with it. And there is a sense of how are we going to do? But I think quietly underneath it all, we're all fairly quietly confident, aren't we, really, about next season.
It's so weird. I've never gone into a talkie season feeling so confident to end in like some form of success, and that's really weird. But you're right. I think the continuity is very key. So I was at the sponsors day today. I'm part of a great Tom Lapsley Appreciation Society, as is Chris. And I had a lot of very interesting chats. We'll talk about a bit more later. But I spoke to both Lapsley and Johnson at one point, and they both said that it's just great actually having a squad with continuity. You know, a lot of people know each other in the squad, and we've had a pre-season that kind of shows that, really. Lapsley himself said, obviously, he's had a pre-season. I think the last 2 years he's been injured during pre-season. The only player that has missed pre-season is Dawson. We're told he's had an operation of some sort, and he's still recovering from that. And Stubbs obviously went off against Southampton, but that's kind of like a light hamstring issue, apparently. Somewhere along those lines. But we actually just seemed to be, when I saw the Plymouth friendly, I was just sat and thought, wow, we're actually playing with patterns of play. You know, I watched the Plymouth friendly the year before. It was just men versus boys, basically. And as you said, Matty, like, this is a stronger team, in my opinion. I don't know about you, Chris, but if we're in the National League right now, not that this is a useful thing to think, like, I'd be sat here thinking top half playoffs even.
I think so. I mean, as Matty said, like the last 9-10 games of last season, we were one of probably the best three sides in the division, and the other two were the two that went up. I think it's to the club's credit that they've managed to keep so many of those guys together. We can go on about the ownership and all that kind of stuff, and I'm sure we will in weeks and months to come. But this preseason, they've done a good job.
I expected
Moxie and Hall to either retire or start coaching. I expected us to lose Jarvis. I didn't expect Stobbs or Collins to come back. I didn't expect Newball to show up at Yeovil either. That's a whole other story. And, you know, even though last season, I would disagree a little bit with what Matty said. I thought last season going into it, I was optimistic. I tend to trend optimistic anyway. The squad we put together last season on paper, I thought was strong. I thought Jarvis and Andrews would be a very competent strike force. Didn't turn out that way. At least now the difference is that we've got proven quantities. With the exception of Ash, who does seem to have settled in very well very quickly, admittedly only this season, it's almost exactly the same team that we had towards the back end of last season. The only people we're missing were Newball, who we never expected to stay anyway, and Lawrence, who we think could play in the Premiership at some point. So, he's at Colchester, I think, this season. So that is a miss. I think having a settled team will help us early doors. You know, Yeovil have spent pretty good money, it seems, but they've also brought in a dozen new players. So
they've brought a lot of names in at the end of the day.
Yeah, and names who are older and injury prone.
Yes,
that's it, isn't it? Yeah.
And I think, you know, this league has, I think, 6 or 7 artificial surfaces, which is more than the National League. I do think it was interesting that Noble went there when we felt that he wouldn't come to us because of those artificial surfaces. So,
yeah,
like in a lot of football money talks, and that's fine. I would hope that we are able to make a good start, because when Yeovil do get bedded down, I think they'll be very strong. I think a good chance to put, you know, 12, 13 points on the board in the first 5 games. And that could see us a few points adrift of them when they're playing catch up straight away. I'm very optimistic. I think anything less than winning the division outright would be a failure.
Oh, great.
Although if we do sneak up through the playoffs, we'll probably shrug our shoulders and say, phew, let's go.
Yeah.
Interesting you say there, Chris, about playing catch up, because if you think about like the last time in National League South, we were 14th, weren't we, when Johnston came in?
I think it was even 16th, something like that. It was like
16th. Yeah, right. Can you remember how many games we had played at that point? Was it 10?
10. It was 10. We barely scored any.
So you think, like, you know, the way we finished that season, we won the league. If you'd imagined we'd had that momentum for another 10 games, where we would have ended up and how, or what point in that season would we won the league, you'd like to think this time round with Johnston, if we do hit the ground running, unlike last time, you know, where we could potentially end up. But like you just said, what we don't want to be doing, obviously, is playing catch up. It's about the it's all about start, isn't it?
Yeah, many different things could happen. You know, talking over could of course flop, and it could be another team, or it could be a Wrexham and Notts County type battle. We don't know. But all we can do is just focus on ourselves. You know, with a bit of a clown show at the moment, you could say what's going on in the drama world of the Yeovil chairman right now. And that kind of suits us in the sense that we'll just get on and do our job and kind of be professional about it whilst they've got all that going on. So that kind of suits us. They've basically put the pressure on themselves in that way. But no, I agree. This preseason, the club's done everything quite right so far. So it all starts to, you know, it doesn't mean anything if you don't get your win at Dover at the start. But I feel there's a good unity in the squad. I mean, I saw it today at the event. But it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think we're still missing maybe 1 or 2 pieces. I think a lot of people would feel better if we had another striker.
And another centre back, yeah.
That number 5 is still there, I think, but it's grabbed, waiting for to be grabbed, isn't it, on the squad numbers. Still need a number 5, I think.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be nervous, because I feel like, you know, Tomlinson, Moxie and Marshall should be good enough for 95%.
Tomlinson's very good. Marshall's still got a proof.
But I still think, you know, Marshall's got a mistake. He's got a red card in him, and then you're putting Donald in there. And again, he can be okay, but if we, you know, goes buccaneering forward like he did at times last season, he'll lose the ball and we'll concede in the last minute.
We definitely love centre back, really love striker.
He's definitely the player of last season's bad crop, if you like, without naming names. You know, we all know what the names are, but I think out of those, he's definitely the player, I think, that has come on the most. I think it's a shame that the others haven't yet. You know, we're looking at Crow and Hansen. They're still not really broken.
Without naming names, proceeds to name names.
they've got a big season, haven't they? A lot of them. They've got a big season.
You already knew who they were, Chris. Anyway, didn't
you? That's true. You know,
that's it. I mean, he looks to be the one of those that have stepped up the most, I would think, and improved the most, I would say. Now you'd like to think that 1 or 2 others could potentially do that this season as well. We're gonna need them, because looking at that bench, you know, on Argyle, forget the result, but the result was good, but the bench was still looking pretty dire, wasn't it? To be honest.
Yeah, I think all of those 4 or 5 names, they're all redeemable. I think we saw enough from McGavin at points last season.
There's
a bit in there. Hansen, I think, is an interesting one, because he was, you know, we paid a fee for him apparently to get him from Dover. but he'd never really had any success away from Dover. I think Dover's where he's from.
I had a good chat with him today, actually. Very, very nice bloke. Yeah. I was kind of only a brief one, but you're right. People said, well, is it your first time? Because he said, oh, of course. I said it'd be weird going back to Dover. He said, yeah, no, it will be weird. And he was, because he basically left something, which I didn't realise that. So that I thought I had in my head, you know, it started at Palace and already been in that kind of area. But he said, no, I've been up Hull as well. So I've basically been at all sides of the country. So it's just, it is a big season for him, because I guess he was very well liked at Dover and it didn't quite work last season. But it's a big season for him this year. There's got to be a player in there, surely.
Yeah, I don't think Johnston, especially the club, they don't pay money for people unless they feel they're going to get that money back in some in some ways. It didn't work for him last season. No one's disputing that. And you always, at our level, you always got to take a chance with four or five players. The problem is all four or five of those players last season didn't work out.
Yeah.
You get two of those guys to be half decent, then you're not.
And we always stayed up last season. Yeah, simple as that. We're always playing catch up. We're always playing players that weren't fit enough to play because they had to, like Asa Hall and even Lapsley, and that one they shouldn't have, and Moxie.
Yeah.
I think I'd like to see Crow play further forward this season somehow or other, because he can't defend for shit. He honestly can't. And I think he's got some pace about him. I think he looks a better player when he's further forward and when he's running at people as well. And I think that if Johnson is going down the route of high press, you know, quick breaking teams, I think that, you know, you'd like to think Crow would be able to be part of that as well, playing a little bit further or a little bit higher. In terms of having a midfielder in there that can get sort of, if we're quick on the break and we're box to box, there's still a few question marks for me in there. Jenkins Davis maybe can has got enough in the tank and he's young enough and robust enough maybe to fulfill that role. But aside from him, you're looking at, you know, Hall and Lapsley and Dawson, and you're thinking how much is left in those legs? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think with players like Crow and Marsh, but it's reading the game. As you said, I think they've got good attributes. They just don't seem to be able to read the game. Like,
Crow
loses his man a lot. That's why his problem is defending.
Yeah.
And that's a bit of an issue, you know. And it must be quite an interesting one with Crow, bear in mind how like promising his career was at the start. But
absolutely,
it's his last big chance if he wants to be a professional. Simple as.
And that's down to the coach as well. It's down to Johnson to get the best out of him. And that bit of man management and you know, just that he's a sort of player that you think he needs a bit of an arm around him, doesn't he? I think.
Yeah.
There is a player in there, but he needs to be managed in the right way.
And he needs to deliver.
Yeah. And you never know, because, you know, some players that Johnson has had and he hasn't got the best out of that have gone on and done really well elsewhere. He's also had the opposite to that, where he's had players come in and he's you know, reversed their careers for them and moved them on. Yeah. So you can never really tell, can you?
I think it's interesting with someone like Crow, because he was such a good prospect in the youth groups, you know, growing up. Yeah. And I wonder if, first off, we know when you're playing under-16s football, you don't have to know how to defend. You might be a defender, but unless you're a centre-half...
No, and you've not got livings like on it, if that's what I say. If you lose your man, it's not like someone who's fighting for a living. It's just an academy. It's not.
And I wonder if him having to come to a National League side is not great for a guy's ego, who perhaps expected to be playing a lot higher up earlier.
That's true. That's the thing they've got to get over very quickly.
And it's character. We've seen other players at other clubs have a similar path and they've rescued their careers and they've gone on to good things. So, I mean, Jarvis actually isn't a bad example, because, you know, he was fated when he was younger and then did nothing at Scunthorpe, really. Yeah. Admittedly, they have a basket case. Mm-hmm. Came to us and then done really well. And I'm glad that so far, I mean, with 4 days left before the season starts, that he's still with us.
Sometimes with younger players as well, you've got to take two steps forward to take those steps, two steps back to take those steps forward. And I think that maybe this is the level now where Crow can really come into his own a little bit and use those attributes that he had as a younger academy player. You know, coming up against some of the oppositions we'll be coming up against, and learn from that as well, and then you know, apply it next season. You know, we've seen that happen before with players as well, haven't we?
Yeah,
100%. It's really interesting proving ground for a lot of these players going forwards. So Dover away, obviously, at the weekend. I mean, they've just had an assistant manager. again, was it cited mental health reasons as well or something that I hear? Which is quite crazy. Yeah. There's a lot of turmoil. We've just got to go over there and play our game. Obviously, there's a bit of history talking over because of Stephen Payne and that challenge on Joel Berry many years ago. So that'll be a decent bit of spark in that match still. So
owner's yeah, still a Bellend, isn't he? Can I say Bellend? I just said it twice. Never mind.
You said Bellend if you want, Chris. You just said it.
Yeah. And you know, they seem to be a club in strife. You know, they've had players who signed and then they announced it and then they didn't sign and they went to Dulwich Hamlet of all places. Dover were very fortunate not to get relegated last season. As I recall, they lost on the last day of the season to Dulwich Hamlet, I think, but still stayed up because of goal difference. So
wow.
It was, you know, they looked doomed early on and they managed to get out of it. So I don't think anybody at Crabble is expecting them to tear up any trees, which normally means we're going to show up and get done 1-0.
Yeah.
But I would hope that we'll go there with the expectation of not just winning, but I would like to see us put in a very professional performance, walk off with a 3-0 win. Well, I probably wouldn't want to walk off. It's a really long way to come. You know, get in the bus and come back. and that will kickstart our season as well. And I think people will be looking at us as a scalp all season. I think it was weird the last time we were in this division seeing ourselves as a big club. But we are. At this level, we're a big club. And even in the National League, we're not a small club in the National League by any stretch with the football history that we've had. So I think teams will be elevating themselves against us for most of the season. But when you've got full-time, I think there are, what, 4 or 5 full-time teams in this division this year, which is more than last time. But we should still have enough, just on fitness alone, to beat, you know, 15, 16 of the other sides. Pretty
that's
much
it. Fitness, isn't it? And how many times in that last National League South season did we sort of see teams fade out the last 20 minutes?
That was basically what it was like. And it was their big day out talking Ogilvy for a lot of these teams. So, yeah, it's a weird one.
I mean, there's been a few sort of questions, isn't there, about the sort of teams that we have played pre-season. So, you know, we haven't gone to Buckland or Tiverton this season, have we? We've played teams that want to come out and play openly against us. And I don't know, I mean, do you think that's maybe raised a few questions about how prepared we are for next season? Because there's no way that sides are going to be coming to play more and play an open football. They're just going to be sat behind the ball. And, how you know, Exeter playing out from the back, for example, they think we scored our third from what mistake they're playing out from the back. You're not going to see that in teams like next season, are you? So
it won't be like the Southampton game, put that way. I actually, today I spoke to both Johnson and Laps about it, and they said actually the Southampton result was actually perfect, could be, because it's not that they were complacent, but when you've had a pre-season where everything's gone great, you do kind of need, you want that kind of day where it doesn't go great, obviously still in pre-season. And I think it was a very different test to what we're obviously going to have in the National League South. Obviously, you're not going to have teams. Southampton, they use a lot of their best players, like Tyler Diblin. Like, he moved to Chelsea and then moved back, like, because he was homesick, I think, or something like that. The one who scored the third goal for like £1 million when he was like 15, 16. Like, these are big talents we're talking about, we played against. It's not, I don't believe it's the same team that Weymouth beat. So it was a very interesting test, actually. You're right, it's a different thing because teams will be sitting back. A lot of them will be sitting back. Actually, I think last season every team basically sat back apart from Willstone when we played them in the South. That was a fantastic game.
I was just going to say, I think the pre-season calendar was designed with, let's not get any guys hurt.
Yeah, you know,
we've got older guys. We've got guys who perhaps, like Dan Martin, who's still coming back from an injury. Mm-hmm. Maybe we don't want to go to Exmouth and play on a rock-hard pitch and face some player, not specifically Exmouth, I'm not dissing them in any way, but, you know, don't want to play any guys who fully have something to prove against the professionals that we know where we can get hurt. I did think it was interesting after the Exeter game that those were accusations levelled at our team. A lot of the Exeter fans were very unhappy with how robust some of our changes were. In the case of Tam Lopsley, he was lucky to stay on the field. I think that could have been a sending off, which is classic. Yeah.
He was just up for it, wasn't he? He's lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a fitness exercise. And it's, you know, again, we're not starting from square one. like we were last season. We're starting with the team we probably, Johnson probably knows seven guys from his starting 11, even before we've started preseason. You know, he knows he's got 10 professionals at the time, or however many it was he'd signed on. He knew seven of those were going to slot into the starting lineup, assuming fitness.
I think so you could argue as well that there was an element of that there was a sort of thought behind recruitment in those games as well, because, you know, we've ended up picking up Jenkins Davis from Argyle in that game. Had we not played Argyle, what would have been the chances of picking up a player like that as well? So, you know, you're not going to get a player like that from Buckland or Tivitt, and no disrespect, but I think there would maybe an element of that as well, especially playing Bristol City and Reading as well, because you think sort of, you know, those are the teams that we have had players from before historically that have turned out to be good players for us. And, you know, people talking about those links with local clubs, but you've got to maintain those links with those larger clubs as well that you know, have those players coming through that can benefit from being at somewhere like Torquay, I think, as well.
Absolutely.
So for me, there was an element maybe of recruitment in there as well, which is the reason why we did play those sorts of teams this pre-season.
All three of those leagues, you know, not really including Reading because I don't know too much about them, but Plymouth, Exeter, Southampton, they all have very well-regarded academies. We've had players from all of them in the past few seasons. Like we had, you know, they sent Sparks to us for a month.
Yeah.
And he's gone on to have he's having a decent career now. So I think it's important that we keep those links, because we've seen before, it's hard to get low knees down. Like, we wanted Sinclair Armstrong to come down and stay longer, and he loved it down here, but his club wouldn't let him do it because it's too far for them to send one guy to look after him. Whereas if they send him to Aldershot, it's easy. It's a train ride. So, you know, it's imperative that we keep friendly relations with the local sides, even though it is a little bit galling that they both seem to take, especially Plymouth and Exeter, they take all of, you know, Torbay's best players simply because our academy isn't really worthy of the name yet. And I see people saying, why aren't we, you know, putting players in from the South Devon College setup into our team? They're not good enough. The guys who are good enough are going to Exeter and they're going to Plymouth. And until we're a league club again, we won't have the support.
And the biggest problem with it, when they are good enough, because we don't actually own them, the football club, they go for free. Like one go Wigan, one go Chesterfield. Yeah, the goalkeeper went Wigan. So that's the biggest problem. When they are good enough, they will just go in the country. Yeah. They're pro directs.
We've signed Callum Thomas. Is that the guy's name?
Yeah, he looked quite good against Plymouth.
Yeah, I'd love him to have a great career. Even if he played one season with us and we sell him for, you know, 100 grand to somebody, that would be great. But we've seen with players before, doesn't it? You know, how long did we keep Casella for? 3-4 seasons, probably more than we needed to.
You've got to come in with him. Right, it's like Lavercombe, he got his move to Wigan.
Yeah.
Before he'd actually developed and all just couldn't go. I remember Levi Ives and that and all stuff, players like that. So,
and we don't have the luxury of allowing one of our 11 starters to be a guide learning, because if we don't get promoted, it's a disaster. Now, if you're, Exeter is probably a good example. If, you know, they can be in League Two and they can bring through some players, and if they don't go up, it's not the end of the world for them. But if in the division that we're in, the position that we're in financially, you know, I'm sure the accounts get.
And that's why Exeter finding now in League One, obviously they've lost a few of theirs, and they're like, oh, what do we do now? Kind of thing. You know, they've got quite a tough season ahead of them, right?
Or
someone from outside in. So, yeah, you've got to balance it. I'm a big believer in youth, but at the end of the day, you've still got to manage it properly. You could argue if we win the league and we're in a comfortable position, we're 3-0 up against a part-time team, and that you think there's more chance you can bring these players through. But now that the young lads against, he looked quite good on the ball, actually, and he's strong in a tackle. There's a couple of really good defensive blocks in there. So I did actually watch an under-18s game last year, and him and a couple of us stood out. So I'm happy for him. But yeah, at the end of the day, you've got to play the players that are good enough. But I also agree, if you're good enough, you're good enough. And Tomlinson, to me, showed that. Obviously, Plymouth, ex-Plymouth youth, another good example of the Plymouth link.
Yeah.
He was the big star for me in pre-season, because the way he read the game was absolutely brilliant. And honestly, I know you haven't been to him, but I was really, really assured by how good he is. So just based on that thing. So that should hopefully show up. That sort of back three looks really good.
Did you see Stobbs limping today, Sam? at all?
I didn't see much.
He went off holding his hamstring, didn't he?
No, obviously, I never like to be one who like talks to people and go, oh, let's blow it all out. But basically, it's like a light issue, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if he's going to be there for the weekend. I don't get the vibe. He was there. Dawson wasn't there. He's still at home recovering. Dawson appears to be a long way off from what people reckon. But yeah, that's kind of what I got. I didn't really want to go in. And it's just kind of, yeah, you know what it's like when you're like, ah, assassin. But yeah, no, I do feel like he will be a couple of weeks. And then that's why we need another striker, really, just cover. Because obviously, if Collins is kind of like the striker cover at the moment, isn't he? So if Collins has to cover Ash or Jarvis, then all of a sudden that leaves an issue where obviously you have to replace Collins as well. But I, one thing I do like, apart from kind of the lack of forward options, is the versatility in the squad. Like Marston could play left centre back in a three, or we could play left mid. They were actually trying to use Crow in right centre back, but we know we can play right mid.
Yeah, it was that Kraski played on the he played on the left, didn't he? And then he got pushed into midfield, didn't he? And then
he's ridiculous.
He's got a bit of versatility about him.
Like he played left centre back and he's right footed. He did not look out of place at all. He played right centre back, he looked great. He plays centre mid, and I think that's the best way he looks personally out of all of them, because for the in the Plymouth game, it was his crossfield ball which helped in the goal. So for me, it's just another striker. Whether that would be a Loney,
yeah,
or maybe another winger, another centre back. But then, obviously, I guess players like Ross Marshall and Crowe, they're going to be on first team wages. There's no point in bloating the squad out for no reason at the end of the day at this stage. If you've got a budget, Marshall will probably be, probably going to give him a go. So,
I mean, that was encouraging, the fact that we play the back three against Plymouth. Mm. We looked good with a back three and we matched the front three as well, which is quite difficult to do. So you know,
yeah, no, great.
Got to take some positivity from that as well, I think.
No, they look so well drilled. I think because the back three, obviously, it got a stick last season because we didn't have a personnel for it. But this, like, the best thing about the back three this season is if you do it right, then you keep possession in your defence well. So Donlin and whoever's going to be playing in the back three, they're going to have a lot of the ball this season. And when we're breaking teams down like that, but it means that they can push everyone forwards. So that's the key this year, and having Pace down the wings. Because it won't really be last year, Pace was more needed actually, because we were playing probably more counter-attack things. We were quite deep. But this year, a lot of it's going to be playing it kind of out through the centre-backs. And that's where 3-5-2 can be so powerful if you get it right, and having two strikers. And it's just about picking the right ball, because the good thing about our strikers, they can play kind of balls into the box, or they can play it on the feet, to the feet, and sort of in behind. So it's a nice versatility about the squad, which I really
like. And Collins looked outstanding in that formation as well, didn't he? That 3-5-2.
So good to have him as an asset of this football club now. So good. He just needs a bit of confidence, a bit of regular first team football, as he was getting at the end of last season.
Yeah.
And he will be flying. He's a very talented player. But anything else we'll add, Chris? Anything?
I was just going to say, I was, when we signed Ash, I was not really aware of him. And I, you know, YouTube, I thought, we know three, they almost got relegated. Like, is that the level we're at now? But actually, he seems to have been a revelation. He seems to be the kind of guy who's going to, I hate the phrase because it's cliched, but like the fox in the box to pounce on the crosses that come in low. That's not really been Jarvis's forte. And I think they're classic big man, little man combination could be quite good. No,
Ash's 18 goals last season, didn't he? For Wayne,
they both worked hard as well. When I watched Ash, I was like, he's unbelievable. He was really good on the ball. It's like Jarvis, he's quite a complete player. You know, he knew how to hold himself against these Plymouth defenders. You know, he wasn't fighting to get in the linesman's ear or the defender's ear. He's very skillful. He's trying to get a little flick here and there as well. You know, he's not just like a big, you know, he's class, really. This could be one hell of a partnership. I didn't sit and think, gosh, we miss Newble at all. In fact, I was like, hang on, it's a lot more mobile than Newble.
He's 27 as well, isn't he? I thought he was younger than that. I actually looked at his age. I was quite surprised to see he was 27.
He's in his prime, really, now. He's older than Jarvis.
We said that about Andrews, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like I say, I do... What, we have those two strikers. I think there will be a very good partnership. If one of them gets injured or suspended, then I think we can put Collins up there and we have Martin to play on the left.
Yeah, that's just what I was saying. But then again, you're pulling Collins out there, but we need another option if we can.
Yeah, but you're not going to be able to convince someone to come down who...
I'll be a third choice, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're going to be bringing in a Josh Umara.
Yeah, unless it's a loan. Or it's a loan, it's like, yeah, no, he'll be on the bench and you get some games.
Maybe James Crowell's available again. We never saw him
last time. Yeah, it would be a player like that, to be fair.
Yeah.
Probably. Just someone like that, come and get some personal experience. If there's an injury, you're going to play. So be ready. So I do think that's the sort of player you need in that situation. You're not going to convince them. You say, oh, yeah, come move your family down. You're going to be third choice. And I don't see that happening. You wouldn't pay those sort of wages either. So I was hoping that Southampton friendly would give us something out of that, but we'll see.
Their players are too good, aren't they?
Yeah, that's the vibe. So I don't think you've seen that Tyler Dibbin coming down, are you? So
yeah, there's still time though. Still time for that to happen.
Yeah, it might not be. I don't think it'll be this week now, of course. But and also another thing about loans, we will say once the EFL window shuts. I mean, I don't know what EFL loans might be harder now in the South, not the National League. But once you know they've sorted their players out, then
that's open. What if it's another? Just under 4 weeks,
I'm sure Johnson will be able to get a few loans out there, like those.
I would imagine we'll be looking at Mitchell and Plymouth again.
Just for local
reasons. Yeah,
if someone who's not quite there yet, you know, you're not going to play over the next couple of months, or Bristol's, you know, it's come down for a month. So
yeah, but yeah, I think I'm looking forward to the game on Saturday, even though I'll be listening to it on the radio.
How come, Chris? Tell us more.
I don't know if I've ever mentioned my desire to have streaming for Talking United. Is it something that's ever come up? I don't remember.
Maybe.
Yeah. So, not doing the comprehensive streaming this time for the National League South. I got myself very upset when I was talking to people on the Talkie Fans Forum because people don't seem to have any reading comprehension. I watched it last year. That's cool. That's not this season. The upshot is that rather than allowing international viewers to watch all of the games, which is what they did after Christmas of last year, they're not doing that for the National League South and North. They're sticking to the Article 48 blackouts, which means
that just for the South and North and not the National League.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the baffling thing. I don't really get that.
I was going to say, that makes complete sense, doesn't it? Jeez.
I should give the club some credit for a change. I don't like to do it, and it's not, you know, I did email them and say, hey, WTF, what the hell? And they said, look, you know, it was a league decision, and they forwarded my email onto the league, and they did get back to me, which is a first, and they said, look, we've done the research. We don't think it's going to pay the cost it would cost to
put
the games on the platform. We wouldn't get that money back.
You could argue that Dartford, and no disrespect to any of those teams, wouldn't have the international viewers that you talk United to avoid, which you could also argue, hang on, mate, you're not giving yourself a chance to get any more international viewers if you
see. Yeah, I think it's kind of they're committed to the league-wide platform last year, I think, because of the pressure they were getting from the Wrexham owners, which is fine because the Wrexham owners do what they need to do. But you guarantee 90% of the overseas revenue they got last season was from Wrexham fans.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. No, you're not getting some random like Dutch man to go, hey, watch Dartmouth and Bath, are you? Like, you know.
It's... So I think that going central probably made sense to get things done quickly when they were under pressure. I would prefer, honestly, if we were to go back to like the COVID setup where we were paying clubs individually, I would pay a full season ticket price to Talker United to say, okay, what's the season ticket? 310 quid?
Yeah, something like that.
I would pay that to watch all of our home games streaming. That way, there's no chance of them losing money, even though I'm not going to play.
No,
money.
That's a valid point.
And I don't think you'd be the only one, Chris, to do that either. That's the thing, isn't it?
No, that's a very valid point, actually, because if it went to the clubs, they would get more money. Of course, it's still that thing when they have the ratio of yes, of course. Because you could say, all right, say if we're playing away to a team, they could put it on because they know Torquay fans are going to have a lot more and they would be watching it. Of course, I see why they've done it now because the ratio of the money is going around, not exactly directly to a team. Where if they did like a COVID, it would probably be different.
Yeah, and I know I've had discussions with people who, when the National League games are being broadcast last season, like, oh, I can't get to the game this week, so I'm going to find a Moody stream online and I'm going to watch it that way, which I get it. I mean, it's economically difficult for a lot of people to go to every game, but also that's money that the club aren't getting.
Yeah.
I'm not in that position. I don't, you know, I'm not going to go to the game otherwise. I live too far away. So my choices are to pay the money to watch a stream if it's available or not watch it at all. Yeah. So it's a fairly easy decision, but I do wonder if they've done any research on how much money they're losing.
Yeah.
People yeah. who are watching illegal streams. And that's something that the industry hasn't figured out yet, because there's always somebody who has a stream somewhere. And if you're Sky, you can afford to go and shut them down. I guarantee you, Talker United and the rest of the league can't afford to do that. It just doesn't make any difference. Okay. But I see the EFL are challenging Article 48 in places because they have a new broadcast agreement coming next season, I think. And there's a suggestion they might challenge Article 48. If they do that, that could then roll down to
We need to change it. Honestly, it's outdated, that 3 o'clock rule. That's for another day. But that the 3 o'clock rule is completely outdated now.
Well, it makes sense for the Premier League teams because they're getting £100 million plus every season from TV. So you don't want people to, you know, and a lot of that money is predicated on the full stadiums. You know, they're selling the product. They're not selling the football that much. Yeah. They're selling the atmosphere of being there, which you get through the television.
It'd be interesting to see how many actual 3 o'clock Premier League games there are, because there aren't hardly any at the moment, has been last season, have there? You look at the percentage of games that are either played on a Sunday or, you know, 5:15 kickoffs and stuff, or early lunchtime kickoffs. The grouping of 3 o'clock kickoffs is quite small, isn't it, now for Premier League?
Yeah, and a lot of that is so that they can get around the Article 48 to broadcast it. But also, I've done the research, and the way Article 48 kicks in when half of the fixtures in the top two divisions are at 3 o'clock. So what's that, 22 games, 12 in the Championship, 10 in the Premier League? So if they've got, you know, 10 games in the Championship that are being held at 3 o'clock, they only need one or two games at 3 o'clock on a Saturday in the Premier League. Coincidentally, they normally have three.
Yeah.
So there's clearly a, I don't want to say it's a degree of, you know, I've forgotten the word now, but it's kind of a cartel they've got going on, that they're clearly planning the fixtures so that they can keep Article 48 in place.
They're manipulating the situation, aren't they?
Definitely. But, you know, I would much rather say to, you know, here you go, Talker United, here's my £21 or whatever it costs on the pop side. I will watch it from my couch because I can't get to the pop side. Mm-hmm. All that money goes to you. I know there are concerns, or there would be concerns about, well, that means that people aren't coming to Torbay. That I would make the suggestion, especially now, people aren't coming from Dover to watch Talker United. You might get a dozen of them.
Yeah,
that's not enough to change the outlook of the local economy. But if you can get 100 Dover fans to give 20 quid to the club, that's worth something to the club.
Yeah, the people paying £21 to watch the pop side from the sofa are the people that are watching it from the sofa who would otherwise watch it from the pop side if they could.
Oh, yeah.
So you're not losing anything, are you?
Within 3 hours, I'd be going.
That's it. And that, you know, they're not losing any money because of that. That for me, that argument for Talkie doesn't wash, because, oh, we're going to lose money for people watching at home. No, because the people watching at home genuinely can't get to the ground. And if they could, they would. It might be different for bigger clubs, but in our situation, I think that is the case.
Yeah. And I feel like I've monopolized the podcast again. I do apologize to both you two and listeners, and especially Nick French, who I know loves it when I talk about this.
It's very interesting. I think it's a balance. It's a very interesting debate, and I'm sure it will maybe change over the course of the season.
It needs to change, doesn't it? Situation.
And it's pre-season. Yeah. What do you expect us to talk about all the time? Christ, the ball hasn't been kicked yet. Come on.
We could talk about Matt Ogler and Martin Hellier.
Oh, we need a whole hour for that, to be fair. I think we're only just starting. That's unbelievable, isn't it? I suppose, yeah, now it gives us something to talk about soon, doesn't it? Is there anything else to add before we wrap it up?
I can't think of anything, mate. I'm just looking at August fixtures. We've got Dover away, Worthing and Chippenham at home, back-to-back. St Albans, Slough and Braintree. Three games away, three games at home.
We should be all of them, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. In terms of these games, we're not going to, we might do. If you look at his games, especially with the National League, you're like, you know, come on now.
Yeah. I mean,
we should.
I must admit, I don't know the strength of a lot of these sides, but, you know, I would be upset that those six games, what, 18 points on offer? I would be annoyed if we got 14 or less. Like, I feel like we should win at least five of those games.
Yeah. No, you're right. And yeah, I think, basically, any defeat this season is going to have a ridiculous talky Facebook meltdown. That's what we're saying. like any football club or any season, but more or less this season, you know, we win like 20 in a row and we lose one, it'd be like Johnson out. So
yeah, but you know, you think back to that first season, actually, South, there were some hairy moments. There were some upsetting results.
What, especially under Owens? We still had the odd under Johnson because that's what a football season has.
There will be moments where we're really going to have to dig in and fight and really get, you know, it's going to happen because of the nature of the league we're in. You know, you can think of some of the games last time in National League South. I think it was East Thurrock, you know, where we really had to sort of grind that out and it got a bit sort of, oh, no, we're not going to win this. And then, you know, we got there in the end. But there will be moments like that, I think, where we're going to have to accept the fact that we're going to have to dig in and fight. And some results may cause a few meltdowns, but so be it. That's the nature of the league we're in.
Yeah. No, you're right. No, well, thanks for joining me, you two. I'm excited. I've never sat here in a talky season and gone, we're going to win the league. I'm very excited. I can't see how it's possibly going to go wrong. So that makes me very nervous. Very nervous.
I think
indeed.
It's also, like, we're going to win the National League South again. Like,
yeah,
it's an achievement to do it, but also that's not really where we want to be considering 90 years of our history is...
No, it is one of those. But we've just got to enjoy it, you know, make the most of the season. That's what it's about at the end of the day. Of course, we want to be in the Football League, but this is where we are now, and we're getting a lot of fun along the way.
The nervous thing is the start. Once we get a good start and we're into a groove, and we're ticking over, I think the nerves will go somewhat and we can enjoy it
and
a
the
bit
pressure.
More. I think it's just getting started and getting going. And I think that's the bit I think that I'm nervous about anyway, to be honest. And it's about having that good start because you can, you know, we know how quickly things can unravel and things can go wrong. And you know, we really do need, it's another cliche as well, isn't it? We need to hit the ground running, really. We need to get as many points on the board in August as we can. And once we're in that groove and once we're ticking over and once, you know, our fitness and whatnot are coming through, then we can really start to enjoy it a bit more then. And I think once it's settled down and we get an idea, you know, what Yeovil are doing, what the teams we think are going to be up and around there, the likes of Dartford maybe. Few people have said about Farnborough this season as well. And they could be a surprise package, like the new Dorking and whatever. And once we realise, or once the sort of the league table takes its shape, and then we can really sort of, you know, settle in and knuckle down and get on with it then. But the thing I'm nervous about certainly is getting started, to be honest.
I agree. And that's all we will at Dover on Saturday. So thank you for joining me, you two. Thank you for listening, everyone.
All right, no worries.
Yes, and thank you for listening. Goodbye.